Hello, friends. It is David Landuli and Margaret Katz-Kahn here from the Deep Dive Leadership. Leadership Deep Dive. Oh my gosh, it's all new. It's a particle.
I know. It's a particle. We're already jumbling.
We're already jumbling.
We're off to the races of this topic of today's episode, basically chasing particles around, which is like, you know, the details are, what do we call this? The leadership deep dive or deep dive leadership? It's the former, not the latter.
Leadership deep dive. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But before we got on, Margaret and I were, you know, we've been mentioning that we're sort of rebranding the show here. And now that it's goes LinkedIn Live, so it is more of a live show with our images, but then it also is going out on our podcasting platforms under a new brand. So there's a lot to deal with when you do something like this, and technology platforms and finding why something, you know, why Restream is crapping out on you, and why is it works over there on LinkedIn for me?
You said something mean about it on the air. Now it's going to crap out on you for sure.
No, yeah.
You heard its feelings, David.
Yeah. I heard it. Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did. So now it's just going to torture us. So these are like, in life, in leadership, we call these particles. These are minutia that has to be attended to. That'd be one way of describing particles.
Yeah, you know? I think most of us have a certain level of competency at getting stuff done, going through details. And it might be, you know, the moments where, I don't know, something goes wrong with an account and you have to call and wait forever and talk to somebody and get it handled. Mm-hmm. It might be remembering the things you're supposed to buy at the grocery store, right? It's and I do believe, David, that many people out there actually have brains that love details and that
yeah.
really feel very comfortable. So this podcast is really more for the rest of us who that's like a pea size.
Yes and no. Actually, this podcast, this episode of the show is really for both those who are. And this is kind of counterintuitive, because you might think like, oh, I'm good with handling details, I can tune out. Well, yes, but you may not be good at what is the opposite of particles, which is space.
Yeah.
Vision.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you're so lost in the particles. So I remember we did this exercise in a field where, you know, everybody was like bouncing off each other's, like that was the particles. And your job was to like find the open spaces to weave in and out. I don't know if you did that exercise when you went through the leadership program.
Yeah, we totally did. And I, you know, I mean, the way I would describe it, it's like, if you're telling a story, the space is like the arc, right? It's holding the story. It's remembering, you know, without focusing, but just knowing that you're going to remember to share the pieces of the story that are important and that you're going to get to the conclusion, right? You're going to, that's the space, that's the context, and the content, it's important. I mean, we can't live with only one of these things, but then there's the content, you know, there's the little rabbit holes that you get into when you're telling the story, or the, you know, when you're talking and you're like, wait, did that happen on Labor Day or Memorial Day? It was for sure holiday weekend. It was Memorial. No, it was Labor Day. You know, when you get
into a
particle of a detail that you can't get sorted out, you know, that's probably a rabbit hole particle, but that's kind of the difference, the little details versus the whole big picture. And you need both. You really need both.
You need both. It is a yes and. What I would say is that, myself included, it's easy to get lost in the particles. It's very tempting, because our left brain is highly conditioned to deal with details and, you know, making sure everything lines up correctly. And again, it's important. Except when you're up to something that is not dependent on particles, Like watching a sunset.
Right. You don't have to worry about the particles. Although you could choose to obsess about the mosquitoes, and that would be a kind of a particle.
Yeah. Well, there'd be like an important particle. Like, so my wife and I are getting back into, you know, some of you in the audience know we moved off the beach, and when we lived by the beach, we could easily get out to watch the sunset. But now we have to drive 10, 15 minutes and park and get out on the beach. So the one thing particle that's good to know is like, what time is sunset tonight? Like, that's an important particle.
Right.
You know, but once you kind of know that, it's like, all right, well, it, you know, sunset's at 5:30, it's five, let's go, you know?
Yeah. And spending all of your time in space, I mean, for sure, I think this is probably true for you as well, David, but have you worked for people who were incredible visionary people who really couldn't be bothered to worry too much about particles? And they're not good at giving instructions, for example, or delegating specifically or communicating. You know, sometimes people can live too much in the space. So I don't want to, you know, throw particles completely under the bus just because David and I struggle sometimes with particles. They're important, well, still.
Yeah. I mean, some of the work we do with leaders is kind of understanding their behavioral and communication preferences. And we use the DISC profile for that. Mm-hmm. And you can get a pretty good sense of whether you're, you know, particle oriented or people oriented using that assessment. Yeah. And on a leadership team, you need both.
Right.
You need both. And most people have sort of a preference toward one way or the other. And it's kind of hardwired in. I mean, you can stretch into dealing with details, but if you're generally not a detail-oriented person, then every time you do that, it takes a lot of energy and time for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we can adapt. I mean, for sure, for me, when I supervise people, I felt like I had to, you know, develop a lot more competency with details and particles and tracking things and holding different plots at the same time for my team members. I feel like you too, David, may have had some periods in your life where one thing or another has made the particles more overwhelming than they used to be.
I spent most of my life, adult life, working life, managing particles. That's what managers do.
Yeah.
All right. Directors, we direct particles. I, you know, and
you, over there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had a pretty good capacity for that. Although when I took my DISC, I scored very low on the C, the conscientious part of the, which deals with details and rational analytical type of analysis. But I did it for many, many years. It can be done. It was, as I've matured and found my zone of genius, my zone of genius is not over there.
Right.
My zone of genius is more in being creative, like what Margaret and I are doing right now, like just having a conversation, like unrehearsed, but we're just talking about stuff and or writing or like the idea, like the whole idea of using Restream and bringing stuff live to you guys, like that was the creative spark that led us to even be able to do what we're doing now with you. But the details of making that happen is very difficult, actually.
Right.
But important.
It's a lot of particles. Yeah. And they can be high tech things, right? They can feel where the challenges can be is like when something feels more techy or following the steps feels hard, or I don't know what the steps are. But it can also be very mundane, you know, having to you know, do something in your house or remember a series of tasks or finish things on a list. Like it doesn't have to be it may be partly a tech deficit with me is what I'm trying to say, but that's not the only reason sometimes.
No, it can be something as simple as a grocery list, right? So some folks are list makers, which helps you to keep track of things. I'm generally not a list maker.
List maker. Oh, yeah.
You're a list maker. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm a constant list maker. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I'm generally not. Although the one thing that I love, see, this is like where, you know, you can get creative with particles even. Like the one thing I love to create a list for is my grocery list because I do the shopping. But I like I use a 3x5 blank online index card. So very analog in the way mm-hmm. I create my list, as opposed to mm-hmm. Lillian puts, yeah, all right. When I go through this, and I like to have that analog piece of paper, blue pen on a white background when I'm going through the store. Lillian, my wife, loves to put her list on because she does the one bit of shopping she does is Costco, and she just puts it on her phone. Mm-hmm. And so she likes that. But either yeah. way, you know, lists of things to do, lists of groceries to get. We live in the land of particles, and you create systems to deal with particles. The problem is that the systems that you create for dealing with particles don't usually work with people.
That's true. But how do people... First, I just want to acknowledge, I love what you're saying about, you know, sometimes we can make a task more palatable for ourselves by expressing like, well, I want my blue pen or, you know, my pink yeah. pen to write this with or whatever that looks like. Yeah. Let's go back for a minute. Particles and people, say more. Mm. How are particles and people?
Well, we've talked about this in the past, but I like to say, you know, when you treat people like particles, you're turning people into objects.
Okay.
And that you're taking the humanity out of the people part of your life and your work. So this is also something like that we see a lot of with the hyper-rational saboteur and the stickler saboteur. So these folks are highly hyper-rational and detail-oriented, except they don't do so well with people because they look at people like objects to be managed like particles. It just doesn't work well in relationship. I've seen, you know, I've seen breakdowns with leaders who have this orientation, and they really struggle with relationships.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, on the other hand, if you're so relationship focused all the time, then maybe the important tasks and the details within those tasks don't get accomplished on time, in good order, as they might need to be. So there's a balance here we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's any better for relationships to be the person who loses track of details of what's been asked of you to do, of what your jobs are. Right. You know, so I think you can err way too much in either direction. Right.
Yeah,
the preference for space versus towards the preference for particles. Those can go wrong in different ways, but in equal amounts, I would say.
I remember, you know, at various stages of my adult professional life where I was leading teams and had to attend to many details, like mm-hmm. for clients and for the organization. So, and you know, I would hold weekly team meetings, a staff meeting or a team meeting, and we'd be going through things, and it would make me extraordinarily nervous when people did not write, you know, they have a task that they've agreed to execute, except I don't see them taking notes.
Ever do that when you're ordering in a restaurant? And
oh, I can make you very nervous.
Often they get it right, which is always impressive, and then sometimes not so much.
Yeah, not so much, right? So, there are some people I knew who have like, you know, bear trap memories, and they can remember stuff like that. Yeah. But this is a very few. In the world of people who just don't need to take notes. So one way of keeping track of your particles is to take notes about what needs to get accomplished. And another thing is to say, I would say this is the people management, like the non-particle part of it, that's still part of it, is like when you don't take notes, it makes me very nervous. Like, that would be a way of approaching a person about
it. I like that, because you're not telling them that they're doing something wrong. Right. You're just talking about the impact on you.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So for people who aren't big fans of particles or who feel overwhelmed by particles, we've talked about one possible way to manage that, right? Which is to find some systems that make you smile. For me, I think also putting a bookend, you know, not making myself do something like for a whole day, that's really hard for me to do, you know, just, okay, I'm going to spend an hour or 15 minutes on this, you know, just trying to get as far as I can.
Yeah.
And if I'm making progress, I'll stick with it. But if I am getting frustrated, sometimes it's better to step away and come back.
Like we did today.
We did not solve our problem, did we, David?
We did not solve our problem of LinkedIn Live and this Restream platform. So we said, let's just get on and try something. And Margaret's going to post this live stream as soon as we get off here. And we'll see if, because she's been having some trouble with the Restream catching on her profile. So sometimes you just have to do experiments.
Right. That's another thing. Just try something different and see what happens.
Yeah. Try something different. See what works. A lot of times we get caught up in the trying to figure it out. That can be very frustrating.
Yeah.
Especially when you're not figuring it out.
That's a great leadership skill. Ask for help.
Ask for help. Right. That's true.
Maybe there's somebody in your life who's really good at this, or who at least is not averse. Maybe it's not just a zone of competence for them. Maybe it's a zone of excellence for them. Right.
Right.
So you can ask for help. Genius.
So, I mean, we may need to go to Restream and ask for help. That because we're obviously a paying client of this service. So that's a good reminder. We may need, if we can't figure this out here shortly, we may have to ask them for help and see what's happening. So that's another great way to, when you're struggling with particles, bring the human element in, like ask for help from somebody else.
Right. Add another human. And then the opposite way, when you are super focused on particles and that's your happy space and you're struggling with the humans, I feel like PQ is a great program there.
It really is. The controller loves to control particles. The hyper-rational loves to analyze particles. The stickler wants to get all the particles right. There's a benefit in all of those things until they go on steroids and it starts to hurt relationships. And I've seen this time and time again. And also the avoider. So when it comes to particles, a lot of people, including myself, I notice, will avoid when I know that the particle hill is going to be long and messy and a slog. And so like, oh, I'll do that tomorrow. But one thing you said earlier that I love, Margaret, was that sometimes, and we talk about this in the PQ program, sometimes you just take one small step.
Yeah.
You know, you start. You start.
And you spend 10 minutes on it, 1 minute on it, 10 minutes on it.
Right. Yeah. And if you're making progress, then you could keep going. And you'd be surprised. Sometimes you're like, there's great satisfaction in getting to the end.
Yeah.
And then you can celebrate. Or let's say you stop in 10 minutes and you got a little bit done. You celebrate. Yeah. You know, so if you struggle with this, the PQ program is, whatever side you're on, the PQ program, the positive intelligence coaching program, can help you because your inclination, whether your inclination is toward leaning toward more particles or your inclination is leaning more towards people, you can help get you more balance in your life and in your leadership with PQ. Yeah. So learn some skills and learn how to deal with these things because we all have to deal with both particles and people. Yeah. Anything else, Margaret?
No, I think we've said it. Now let's go see if we can get these particles to work.
All right. go put it into practice or reach out to one of us for help.